Love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Look, Eddie, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Yes, that's right. Today, because Nicole is away, the mice will play, and the mice in this case is two homosexuals who enjoy comic books. And today we're going to be talking about Superman because some of us have seen the new show on the CW called Superman and Lois. And I just thought it would be a great time to just think about all the Supermen on the screen and just give our opinions about it. So with that said, we're going to get right into it. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Eddie Z.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality. Congratulations, Eddie. That was the first time you did that intro, right?
I know. I when you guys do it, I whisper it to myself.
So like I mentioned in the cold open, Nicole is away today. She is on a much deserved vacation, and I hope she has the best time. I think she's out there in Disney World, probably as you guys are listening right now. So if you guys are in Disney World this week and you happen to see her, by all means, say hi.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
she's good. No, yeah, I would. If so,
that would be great. No, yeah. I'm saying that would be great. Yeah,
yeah. If a fan ever sees me and they're like, "Oh my god, you're Rolando! Can I take a picture?" I'd be like, "Yes, of course." I would feel like such a celebrity, you know. So, Eddie, how are you doing? Are you excited to be like? This isn't the first time you're like my co-host, but like this is the first time we're doing it on the professional gear because the first time we did it, we were using iPhone stuff. Remember?
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, I do.
So how do you feel?
I feel good. I feel like when I'm with you guys too, kind of miss Nicole.
I mean, yes, of course I miss Nicole because usually she is our research.
Took you a long time. Yeah,
she is our anchor.
She's totally our research, and I mean she does like the kind of like, how do I say? She does kind of the intellectual facts and just of the intro.
I feel like she is the brains. She's like the critique. She's like. Mm. She is like the
I'm more like the fact checker.
Yes, you are more of a fact checker. I'm more just straight up opinion, gut based, you know,
how
no
I
basis
feel.
In reality.
Yeah.
Like my opinions can change on a whim, you know. That's why sometimes on the show, I will literally change opinions by the end of the episode. You know? So with that said, are you excited to talk about Superman, Eddie?
Yes, very much.
All right, so let's get going. Superman. You know what? This is where I should have had my research ready. Superman is a character based off of a comic book that debuted in 1938. Thank you. I was so close. I was going to say 35. 1938, Action Comics, number one, that which featured the iconic cover of Superman holding up a car, right?
Yeah, it's a green car.
It's like a green car, and then there's like a woman in the background just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Is that Lois Lane? I don't know. I've never read that comic. Do you know?
No.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to pretend that it might be. yes, he is, I think it's a misnomer, but he is known as like the first superhero. I don't think that's actually true. I think there are other superheroes that predate him, but he might be in fact the longest running superhero. Does that sound right?
You could say that.
Yeah. I would agree. Definitely. That sounds right. Guys, if you are listening out there and you're screaming because we don't know our facts, like I said, Nicole's not here, but by all means, you can always hit me up and I'll give you the details after the show, but you know, I'm always here to start a dialogue and I will make corrections when needed.
Yeah, actually, we'll make a correction right now. There is no woman in the front cover.
There is no woman in the front cover?
Action Comics, yeah.
Whoa, okay. My mind is blown.
There's actually three men, two running with their like hands in their heads, like, what's going on? And one on the floor.
Okay. So you know what? Now I'm getting like, what's that symptom called where you remember something one way? but history says otherwise.
Oh, the Mandela effect?
Mandela effect. This is Mandela effect right here, right now. That's what we're living through. Superman was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, and it has become a quintessential tale. Some say the quintessential immigration story. Eddie, do you want to give us a recap of what that story is?
Like the Moses story.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, you're going biblical. That's fair. I think biblical is another way of looking at the story. But no, I meant like, can you actually tell us a story of Superman? Like, in a summary.
Oh, in a quick summary?
In a quick summary.
So, there was a planet called Krypton. And for whatever particular reason, it was falling apart.
Yes.
Krypton's days were numbered. And Superman's father, Jor-El, was a scientist and as well as one of the councilmen. And he was trying to get his people to do what they needed to do to try to save Krypton. But it wasn't happening. It was already kind of like a point of no return. So using his genius, he created a small spaceship where he placed his newborn son into it and to send him to what they refer to a primitive planet called Earth, where hopefully he will be raised by good people. But recognizing, depending on which incarnation of the story, but recognizing that when he's on Earth, the yellow sun of Earth will change him and make him an incredible man, a man of many gifts. And he does. So he travels, he lands on Earth, and he lands in what looks like Kansas to us, but it is Smallville.
Yes, and, Smallville is in Kansas.
Yeah, so. Smallville is Kansas. And lands there, and he is found by a couple, Martha and Jonathan Kent.
Yes.
Where he is raised, they adopt him. So Superman is adopted.
Yes, he becomes adopted, and little by little, as he grows up, he begins to develop his powers, mm-hmm. and eventually he will go on to move to Metropolis, where he becomes a journalist, and as a journalist, he also moonlights, or daylights, right, because I guess Superman works in the day also, as Superman, where he fights crime, saves people from all sorts of disasters, and evil capitalists like Lex Luthor, who is the main enemy of Superman, who actually is probably one of my favorite DC villains. And what else? What's the other important? Did we miss anything important? He's a journalist. Oh, Lois Lane. Duh.
He becomes a reporter at the Daily Planet.
The Daily Planet,
where he meets
yes.
The famous Lois Lane.
The famous Lois Lane, indeed. And Lois Lane, this isn't an episode about Lois Lane. This is really going to be about Superman. But let me just tell you something about Lois Lane. I was listening to a podcast, and they were just talking about like how Hollywood has done such a disservice time and time again to the representation of Lois Lane, because she's supposed to be like a Pulitzer-winning journalist. She's supposed to be an investigative journalist. I remember, and I wish I remember who said this, but there was an argument that was made of like, if you're a writer and you can't portray an interesting Lois Lane, you're a bad writer, because she is one of the most fascinating characters there is. A lot of people think of Lois Lane as this damsel in distress, but that's not true. She is actually usually getting into herself in trouble. Yeah, but because she's usually investigating and trying to uncover secrets. So she is a fascinating character. And I think in this discussion of Superman, she will pop up time and time again, because she is like, you know, considered the true love of Clark Kent. Right?
Yes. You got that.
Yes. So let's get right into it. Let's start talking movies and stuff. Eddie, do you have a favorite Superman movie?
The first one.
The first one. Christopher Reeves and Marlon Brando?
Yes.
Right.
The first one. I remember being a little kid, probably 3 or 4 years old, and watching this movie and being totally fascinated with the story of Superman. And that's actually my first love, when I first fell in love with superheroes.
And I think a lot of people would feel that way, right? Like, I think seeing Superman on the big screen, or actually, you know, I feel like a lot of us growing up, we probably saw it on TV, but there was something magical about seeing Christopher Reeves fly for the first time. And I think he was so wholesome and all-American and so hopeful.
Yeah.
Right? That is just like, he inspired like true, I don't know, there was just an inspiration when you watch that movie. And you know, I think the plot, let's talk about the plot a little. Do you remember the plot of it?
Well, besides the origin story,
right, which was itself, I mean, the origin story is like probably the first third of the film.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah, like the Krypton, and that's where we get Marlon Brando as Jor-El. And, you know, the fall of Krypton, and then eventually how he makes it to Kansas, Smallville. I do remember the shot of, like, Clark Kent emerging from the spaceship, like, just naked. Mm-hmm. Just straight up butt naked, and, like, you have a...
He looked like a two-year-old.
Yeah, he was like, anyway, he was like a toddler and stuff, and I remember thinking, he's just like, ooh, are they allowed to show this? That was just my reaction.
Right.
But and then he would eventually grow up to become Clark Kent, and you know, Clark Kent discovers his powers. But the main storyline, though, the main plot of the movie is that Lex Luthor wants to create to nuke parts of the country
to create real estate,
to create beachfront real estate specifically is what he wants to do. That's his goal. And it's just like, this is Lex Luthor, man. Like, this Lex Luthor, played by Gene Hackman, in one of his most memorable roles, in my opinion. It's such a campy, over-the-top performance, but it is a memorable one. And it's a perfect foil to kind of the, how do I say, the more laid back, almost like serious Clark Kent. There was a level of levity with Clark Kent's, you know, Christopher Reeve's performance as Clark Kent, but for the most part, it was like, you know, it is nothing compared to how over the top Gene Hackman was. Is it Gene Hackman? Now I got to make sure I'm saying that. It was Gene Hackman. Okay, yeah. Good. Gene Hackman. I don't know. What do you think, Eddie?
No, definitely. I definitely, they like, in the sense of like, his performance was excellent. And then not knowing any of the names of these actors, but the people that played like his like secretary slash maybe girlfriend and
I don't remember
the other guy that wasn't very smart, but that was always like, yeah, boss.
Yeah, yeah,
his henchmen. So they all kind of added that, you know, that whole criminal but yet funny aspect to that movie.
Yeah, they were all dopes, and you know, I think Lex Luthor does that. He surrounds himself with like kind of incompetent people to feel superior.
Well, that's the whole idea that Lex Luthor is a genius,
right? He is.
You know, he is a genius, and very wealthy.
Yes. Now, I will say this: we mentioned that this was the first movie, but that's actually not true. The first Superman on the big screen was actually portrayed by Kirk Allen. And that was in 1948. I want to say that they're talkie films. I think they were serials. But a lot of people, you know, don't really know these films and stuff. I've never seen it. Have you?
No, I haven't seen any of the black and whites.
Yeah, neither have I.
Yeah.
And then after him, it would be George Reeves, who would portray Superman in Superman and the Mole Men in 1951. That sounds fun, right? The Adventures of Superman in 1952 through 1958. Oh, that was a TV show, huh? Mm-hmm. George Reeves, you think he's related to Christopher Reeve? No, Christopher Reeve, not Christopher Reeves. Okay, I just learned something. There you go. There's no relation there, guys, if that's what you were thinking.
It's like nobody was thinking that.
What are your opinions on Superman 2? Because I like Superman 2 more than Superman 1. That's a Zod.
Yes. No, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's
that was pretty good. Awesome. Having kind of like, it's like, it's, you know, he finally finds people from his world, and it happens to be like the three worst criminals.
Yeah. War criminals, no less. You know,
and totally have beef, especially their leader. Totally has beef against Superman because of who his father is. The House of L, you know?
Yeah.
Totally has a problem with the House of L, so.
Which is interesting, right? Like, the House of L would eventually become, like, a TV show, right? Krypton.
And
sci-fi. But even back then, in the 70s, like, the family drama of Krypton was always alive and well, you know? This isn't something new. Like, this was always a thing in our media representation of Superman. We haven't talked about Margot Kidder. Margot Kidder as Lois Lane here. Your thoughts, Eddie?
I think I have her printed in my brain as the first Lois Lane. You know, so it's like, even like, I never had read the comics before then. So the idea of
blasphemy.
I mean, like, later on when I got older.
Right.
But I saw the movie first, and I saw this version of Lois Lane. And so everything else has been like, is she as good as?
I know what you mean.
Lois Lane.
Because I think Margot Kidder is the first Lois Lane I think of. There's a second one that I will then go to. But if you tell me, picture Lois Lane, even now when we have Amy Adams play her, mm-hmm. and there was another actress who portrayed her, I forget her name, but...
The Desperate Housewives?
No. Terry Hatcher. She's the second one that I do.
Terry Hatcher. Okay.
Terry Hatcher is the second one. I love me some Terry Hatcher. No, I'm talking about, she's the one who played her in Superman Returns. I forgot who played Lois Lane there, but Margot Kidder. She just has like this attitude, and we talked about Margot Kidder a little bit when we did Black Christmas, and what she has just such a presence. She has such a stage presence of just straight up like almost boss bitch, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only way I would describe Margot Kidder when she's on screen. She has like this, like, she's like very, like, she's very slender, but she has like these like broad shoulders that give her like really just like this intimidating presence, in my opinion. And I just love the fact that she just sounds like she just smokes so many cigarettes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. She has that smoky voice.
It's a very, very sexy voice, I think. Christopher, great. The one thing I wanted to do here while we talk about Superman is, well, we're two gay men here, so I want to make sure that we rate these Supermen on a hot scale. And our hot scale is on a scale of one cape to five capes. Eddie, how many capes are you giving Christopher Reeves?
I think four capes.
Four capes? That's high.
Four capes. Yeah, no, I think as a prime, he is like the first.
I never liked Christopher Reeve. I never thought he was hot. I never found him attractive. He gets two capes from me.
Okay.
Beautiful eyes, but not sexy. I think Margot Kidder is sexier. And that's coming from a gay guy. Christopher Reeves. Anything else you want to say about Christopher Reeve?
No.
Nope. All right. So we're going to move on to the next Superman, which wasn't a Superman movie. It was actually it was a show. Not a Superman movie. This was a Superman TV show, although not called Superman. For some reason, it was called Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
And this was from 1988. Never seen this show. Eddie, have you?
Yeah, I've seen the show.
You've seen this show? What's the show about? Like, why is it called Superboy, not Superman?
Yeah, it's just really kind of like... Clark Kent, I think the college years.
The college years.
Yeah, I think it's the college those years. Never I think work it was in anyone. The college years. I think both of the shows that were named Superman had him kind of the college years, who seemed to be more of a developed superhero for his age.
Okay.
You know, if
so he's already like he's
before
he's
not- before we even talk about Smallville.
Uh-huh.
In the sense of it, just like he was like. Like having his costume, like having himself like situated as a superhero already
mm-hmm.
by at least these college years.
Interesting,
you know, and him.
So is this Clark Kent juggling college and being a superhero?
Yes. If I remember correctly. This, yeah,
okay, interesting.
And I think it was more Lana Lang that was kind of the woman of interest.
Ah, Lana Lang now shows up. Okay, so for everyone who doesn't know who Lana Lang is, Lana Lang is Clark Kent's high school sweetheart. Depending on the iteration.
Yeah, it could be Crush.
Yeah, okay.
Crush,
yeah,
slash crush, friend.
Right.
Or
first love.
First love.
Right. But then the other, depending on the iteration, she either may know that he's Superman or may not.
Yes.
That's ultimately dependent on what the creator needs, the writer needs for drama. That's how I would best explain it. Yeah. So it's a Lois Lane here instead of.
In one multiverse, at least in the comics, she played a role in helping him become Superman.
Oh, interesting. Lana Lang?
Yeah, like in supporting him as he like learned how to use his powers, and like she would teach him tricks.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I had nothing to really say about this because I've never seen this show, but you know what? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Hot scale. One cape to five capes. Eddie, you've seen the show. Do you have an opinion?
Out of the two Superboys shows, he was the more attractive. This is John Newton.
Yes, John Haynes Newton.
I thought he was like at least 2.5.
A 2.5. Oh, interesting. I actually think he's more attractive than Christopher Reeves. I will give him 3 capes. He looks very Italian, though. No? What do you think? You don't think he looks like Joey Tribbiani a little bit from Friends?
No.
No? I see it.
I actually think that the other one may have a Joey look to me.
Oh, really? All right. Well, let's go on right to the next one. We're going to Superboy, another Superboy. It's called The Adventures of Superboy. This one ran a little longer. This one ran 2 years as opposed to Superboy, which only ran 1 season. Not even a full season, right? That just ran a year. This is The Adventures of Superboy. 1989 to 1991 by Gerard Christopher is the actor who portrays Superman. Looking at this picture, he looks actually a little more ethnically ambiguous. Interesting. Did you see this one?
Yes.
Okay, so you've seen
but
this
I
one
would
too.
Not. I don't like remember.
You don't remember
this,
it.
Remember this
okay.
one, this particular one.
I'm just looking at the costume here. It's so interesting, right? The Superman costume is one that almost has never changed when it comes to his portrayal in media.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's only like in maybe the last 20 years. Even that sounds like long. But in the last 20 years is when the costume has kind of gotten through a little bit of a update and stuff. What's your opinion on the costume in general?
I definitely like the costume today.
You like the newer costumes?
I like the newer costume.
Yeah.
It's funny until someone like pointed out like that whole wearing your underwear outside.
Yeah, why
you
is
know,
that
like
a
kind
thing?
Of thing. Like, it's so interesting because it's like you like look at it and it seems okay, but then it's like when you think about it, I'm like, yeah, I could see it. It's kind of look goofy.
Yeah.
But like seeing the newer costumes too. And I've actually I love the black and white one that a more darker Superman.
Oh, that usually is for Superman when he's older. I think depending on the comics, it might be part of the, I could be mistaken about this, but Kingdom Come Superman, no?
No, Kingdom Come Superman is different.
Oh, it's not Kingdom Come Superman. All right. I remember the black and white Superman costume was used in Batman Beyond when Superman made a guest appearance.
It's usually after like the resurrection
when he comes back. Okay, I see, got it. Oh wait, you know what, Eddie, I'm looking at more pictures of our boy Christopher here, and you know what, I think you're right. He actually reminds me a little bit of Ralph Macchio.
Okay,
what do you think?
I can agree with that.
Yeah, I think so. So, and Ralph Macchio, I think, is also Italian, right? So there you go. That would explain why.
Yeah, so the suit is, at least when we deal with Henry Cavill's Superman, is the suit, the black and silver suit is referred to as the recovery suit.
The recovery suit?
Yeah, it was like the suit Dawn after emerging from the Kryptonian regeneration matrix.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it on, I've seen it mostly in cartoons. Full disclosure, guys, here's, I'm a big Batman fan. I'm not the biggest Superman reader. I will, however, admit that I have such a passion for Superman Red Son. Interestingly enough, that's one of the comic books that me and my best friend actually kind of bonded over for the first time, because he had never heard of it. So I remember recommending it to him, and he checked it out, and you know, it became, I don't know if it became his favorite comic book, but like he found himself like very, very much also enamored with that story, because that's such a cool one. I mean, what happens if Superman lands in the Soviet Union? I think that's such an awesome storyline. All right, Gerard Christopher, what do you think, Eddie? Hot scale. How many capes are we giving him? Between one cape to five capes?
No, I think I'm giving him also 2.5.
2.5. Yeah, looking at some of the other pictures, I gotta say, he might be, I think that's, I'll give him two capes. Two capes. He does, like, he fills up the suit very well, though, I will say. Like, he's not lean. He's, like, he seems bulkier than Christopher Reeves than I remember. So, props to that. All right. Now we're going into, finally, some TV shows that I actually did watch here. We got, from 1993 to 1997, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Eddie, did you watch this show?
I watched this show.
Hell yeah, I watched the show too. This show was so fucking good.
Yeah.
This is Terry Hatcher as Lois Lane, Dean Cain as Superman. What happened? This is their relationship, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically the story, like their relationship. Yeah. Their courting years.
Yeah, yeah. This reminds me of, so this is like the 90s when like we're trying to do, this is, I remember media was doing this a lot, because I remember Beauty and the Beast was also another show that came out around this time, mm-hmm. which was Beauty and the Beast solving crimes, but also possibly in love,
mm-hmm.
Starring Ron Perlman as the Beast. Yes, so I love this idea. I watched this show. Terry Hatcher was so beautiful. And Dean Cain, Eddie. Dean Cain. I mean, what is there to say about Dean Cain, Eddie? Outside of the adultery that he has committed now. what did you think of this Superman?
This Superman was also because he did have that he did have a different look to him.
Yes,
he wasn't, I would agree. He didn't have that per se Kansas boy look,
uh-huh.
but there was something more. Can I use the word
mischievous?
No, I think he had more
sultriness.
Yes, to his parents. Yeah,
he has much more of a bedroom face than the Superman that we've talked about.
Yeah, so
right now.
He was definitely kind of a three and a half capes for me.
Three and a half capes. Interesting. Now I'm reading some of this stuff, and apparently the costume was not well liked for the Superman.
Yes, it had like
I don't remember. I'm looking it up right now. I don't remember. Oh, it was shiny.
Yeah, and there was also kind of like this cost. It was like, you know, for a costume, it had a very Halloweenish costume. Like I made this at home. The way the S is.
Yeah, you're right. This S is quite the abomination. You know, this looks like
look at the belt.
This looks like a RuPaul's Drag Race sewing challenge.
Gone wrong a little bit?
This is like the one where the queens are reading you. It's just like, you could have done a little better. What's up with this fabric, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, that S is just, where's it going?
It is also so shiny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I don't remember it being this shiny, but my God, does Dean Cain look really good in this costume? Interestingly enough, he doesn't have that little curl when he's Superman.
No,
but he has those waves and like when he's Clark Kent, but he will not have the curl. He slicks his hair back, and I'm not feeling that, because I feel like one of the most defining characteristics of Superman in the comics is that curl.
Curl, yes.
And that butt chin. But what do you remember anything about the show? I know we talked about the show in the past, and it ended on a cliffhanger, but then it never got picked up.
Yeah, so they had gotten married.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to have a child. They were trying to get pregnant.
Right.
And it didn't seem possible. You know, him being Kryptonian and her being from Earth, you know, the DNAs weren't merging. But then somehow they were given a mysterious child, a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like a baby was like given to them, and it kind of ended with that mystery. If I remember correctly, I have not seen this show in such a long time, but I think like it just ended with the idea was that they receive this baby that they get to raise, and something special about it, just the way it was mysteriously given to them.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't say I remember. I don't remember. I mean, I honestly don't remember that much in depth about this TV show. I remember watching.
I know she dated like Lex.
She did.
There was a whole Lex thing. There was
played
a love
by John Shay.
Yeah, there was a whole love triangle thing that happened there.
I don't. How do you feel about when they incorporate that love triangle between like Lex and Lex Lois or Lex and Lana? Because Smallville did that, I think also. I mean, how do you feel about it? I'm not a fan. I'm not here for it.
I actually found it fun when they did it in Smallville.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
That's an unpopular opinion.
You know why? Because I felt like okay, so when you in Smallville, you got to see a variety of different facets of the Lex Luthor character, his relationship with his dad, his friendship with Clark, and then later his relationship with Lana. And you got to see these like different how far he would go within these relationships, and the moments that they brought out the good guy in him,
mm-hmm.
and the moments that he did what he had to do to keep people either believing his lies or keep people close to him, mm-hmm. or get rid of his enemies. So I don't know. I just felt that there was an interesting dimension in this romance.
Okay. All right. That's a interesting take. I don't remember caring for, I didn't care that much for that Lex Luthor, but we'll get there. We will get there because you know, that Superman is coming up, but, Dean Cain, wait, how many, so you gave him 3.5.
Yeah. 3.5.
You are a harsh critic. I got to say 3.5 for Dean Cain. I think that's on the low side. I would give him,
it's subjective, as you know. I give him
4. 4 waving flags on that one. Capes, I'm sorry. Let's go now to the next Superman on the screen, Tom Welling, who played Superman from 2001 to 2011. That's a 10-season run that he had.
Yeah, 10-season run.
I can't believe. Did you stomach the full 10 seasons?
No, I did not stomach.
Nor did I.
So
I
did from up to 7 to 8 seasons, and
that's you gave it a good chance.
And then I would catch like here and there. Most of all, I really enjoyed the show. It was a very interesting take on the character. You got to see the character develop through the years,
mm-hmm.
not only from a teenager, a young man, into adulthood. But you also got to see his powers develop.
Right.
Too. So it's like in the beginning, it wasn't like he could fly, you know? I think there was that in the first episode, there's a scene where he's sleeping and he's just like
floating
over his bed.
Like Sabrina, the Teenage mm-hmm. Witch.
Floating over his bed, but you know, never really, developed flight until much later on. I remember the first time he developed heat vision was in class, and I think it was like a sex education movie, like Animals in Heat or something, and it was the substitute teacher, the teacher that was very, very attractive. All those kind of elements and things went awry, and all of a sudden the classroom was on fire.
I don't remember that scene, but I remember the scene where he started developing his X-ray vision, right? This is what I actually liked about Smallville, at least the seasons that I used to watch. They really did try to give you an understanding of why Clark Kent is so wholesome. Because I think that's one of the common complaints that modern audiences have about Superman. He's too nice. He's too good. If you watch Smallville, all right, I think they give you a very good understanding of where that comes from. He's from Kansas. He is a farm boy. And he comes from the most loving family imaginable, right? And all this helps to create his identity of who he becomes and how he how he chooses to be a superhero. And I remember that scene in particular because, like, you know, he's struggling with, like, his eyes hurt, and then he starts seeing that he can start seeing through things. And the wall that he happens to be looking through is, like, the girl's locker room. And his gut reaction is, I think he looks at it for, like, a second before he, like,
sees Lana.
Yes, and then he stops himself. Lana. And he feels like it's just like, no, this isn't right. And I remember liking that moment, despite the fact that I'm not the biggest Superman fan, and I think he is a little bit of a wuss, despite the fact that he has all the greatest powers imaginable. But I remember thinking, it's just like, yeah, this makes sense as to when we see the character's trajectory that he's getting. This one, the romance is predominantly Lana Lang. However, by the end of the series, I know that they end up going to Metropolis for college. They may have skipped college or something. And we meet Lois Lane also.
Well, Lois comes to Smallville.
She comes to Smallville?
Yeah, Lois happens to be the cousin of the character Chloe, which is Clark Kent's best friend.
Let's talk a little bit about Chloe real quick, guys. No, that's not. Yes, we must. If you guys haven't watched The Vow on HBO, check it out. It does feature the actress who played Chloe and her sex cult. That's it. That's all I'm going to say about it. It's important news, Eddie. The world must know.
It's old news.
It is old news. I don't disagree on that one.
Lois Lane was Chloe's cousin.
Right.
And she would come visit.
Yes.
That's how she met Kansas. I think she referred to him as Kansas.
Right.
Smallville. No, Smallville. Smallville. Yeah, because
On the cartoon, that's how Lois Lane would refer to Clark Kent. It's like, hey, Smallville.
Smallville, yeah.
You know, because she's like a big city slicker. Yeah. You know?
Smallville. So, yeah, and then it's kind of like the beginning of something blooms.
Right, because I think also around this time, eventually, the actress who plays Lana Lang, Kristen Kruick, leaves the show. Yeah. And I think it's interesting, right? Because she was one of the, I think this was still the WB, like, It girls. Like, if you were following, you know, the WB at the time, and, you know, myself growing up, I remember the WB very well. Like, it was, you know how Disney Channel creates all these starlets? CW and the WB was also doing that at one point. And she was supposed to be, like, one of those It girls, coming up-and-comers. But, you know, she left the show to pursue bigger things. And
Didn't she pursue a CW show called Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, unfortunately. Hmm. I think it was called Beastly.
No, that's the movie.
Oh, okay. Beauty and the Beast. Whatever. Beauty and the Beast. Smallville. Have you ever seen the meme online? I've seen it a couple of times, but it's you know that scene where, like, Clark Kent is, like, tied up shirtless in the football field or whatever?
Yeah, like the Scarecrow. No, it was a cornfield.
Yeah, they're hazing him. And the meme goes just like, me realizing I'm a homosexual, and it's that picture juxtaposed with iCarly holding up, like, a glass saying interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can relate. I'm pretty sure by the time I'm watching this, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I am homosexual. But yeah, like, if you were a young kid growing up, this was eye candy. Like, Tom Welling was very much eye candy. He has such a physique, you know? So it comes up to the question, how hot is he? How many capes are you giving him, Eddie?
So, I could see the attraction, you know, of the young Tom Welling, but I think it's the Tom Welling of today.
Oh, you're going with Tom Welling of today. Okay.
The kind of, like, the older Welling.
Yes.
More daddy-like.
Yes.
With his beard and, you know, more, how do you say, more mass to his body.
Yeah. It's like there is a sexiness about, like, a guy who was once muscular but now has a little bit of, like, mm-hmm. a little layer of fat over it. It's, like, way more attractive than just being ripped. Okay. I'm going to allow this only because he does show up in character.
I was going to tell you. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I will allow
Infinite
it.
Crisis.
Yes.
The whole Arrowverse crossover
right.
thing where he's in Smallville with his wife and his two daughters living kind of a normal farmer life because mm-hmm. he gave up his powers.
So how many capes?
Oh, that one?
Tom Welling in general.
Tom Welling, yeah, four.
Four capes. Yeah, that's how many capes I would give him as well. Four capes. All right, Tom Welling, good job. Congratulations. Next we go to Brandon Routh, Superman Returns 2006, which was supposed to be the promising revival of the Superman story on the big screen. Did not turn out that way. Did you see this movie, Eddie?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I did. I don't know. I didn't like it as I was hoping for.
It was boring.
I felt like the whole thing.
It was a way to describe it, boring.
You know, the whole thing of like, it's like 5 years later. He was gone for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he comes back and it's him and his relationship with Lana has strained. You know, I mean, she married someone else and she has a kid. And we later, spoilers, find out
spoilers.
That you know, the real father of that kid is Superman.
Yes, and she was played by Kate Bosworth. I thought that was a weird choice because she was blonde also, wasn't she?
I think I felt like her hair was brownish, like a very light brown.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I feel like when I think of Lois Lane, I think of like a dark-haired beauty. But
Amy Adams.
I also have issues because she's strawberry blonde.
I really enjoyed. I like the different takes of Lois Lane.
Mm-mm-mm.
And yeah, if we're gonna talk about Lois's, I think I really also enjoyed it. I enjoyed her performance in the first Superman.
In
The Man of Steel.
Oh, okay. Adams. Okay.
Amy Adams.
I feel like also Kate Bosworth was a little forgettable in this, no?
I feel like most of the cast was.
Yeah, even Kevin Spacey. Like, I think he was probably the standout performance, and even that.
And the actor that played Lois Lane's husband.
James Marsden, I think.
He's Cyclops, right?
Yeah, James Marsden.
Okay.
That's him.
Because I remember him, but I don't remember per se the character besides him, you know, being a good father.
Nor can I tell you if he was supposed to be like a plant for a future character, you know, how sometimes that happens, but this is a little bit before the time of these multi-movie universes. So Brandon Routh, but let's talk a little bit about this Superman, right? Because I think he actually was a very, very attractive Superman, but he was also a little bit of a different Superman, right? He had more of a slender physique than all the previous Superman, and I think that was like a big, not controversy, but it was a talking point in the zeitgeist at the time. So what are your thoughts on this Superman, his physique, his general demeanor?
Yeah, I didn't per se mind it. This is the beginning of the costume really taking a different look. So it's kind of the darker colors there. The chest S is done like almost a 3D, like it's raised up a little bit more, and it's just well done.
Yeah, and actually, if this is more of an insider detail, but if you zoom into the costume, there's like a grid pattern on the actual costume that's supposed to be a representative grid pattern also that's found on his S. You know, they were kind of keeping that in theme. So yeah, I think this one, they took a lot of care in the costume. I actually am a fan of the color palette for this one, giving it kind of that more muted look as opposed to that bright eyesore that was Dean Cain's costume. Mm-hmm. So I happen to like this one.
I mean, it's done. And you know, the cut, too, of the underwear, I say in parentheses, but like in the way that's cut.
Mm-hmm. It's cut a little lower. Yeah. It's like a lot lower rise and stuff. Speaking of the underwear, apparently, the WB invested some money in reducing Brandon Routh's bulge in the movie and also in promo photos of the Superman Returns pictures. This is an alleged. I don't know how much truth there is to this, but I remember this rumor being.
Look at you spreading rumors about bulges.
I am spreading rumors.
A bulge rumor spreader.
How hot is he?
Oh, I think he's very good looking. He has that nerdy, definitely can carry that, that geek cute.
Geek cute. I love that. Geek chic.
What geek cute. And, And he also got to reprise his Superman role, the actor, much later on, also in The Infinite Crisis.
Yes, he did. This is
true. The Arrowverse as Kingdom Come Superman.
Right.
Which was good. I think it was very good.
Yeah, yeah, and actually, I think that's what good for him, right? And also good for him for taking the role, because I feel like the WB did him dirty because Superman Returns didn't do so well in the box office. You know what I mean? Like, he must have signed on to that role because he's like, this is the role of a lifetime. And I think he gave a very sincere performance. I think he was he wasn't a bad Superman. I think he just got... His performance as Superman had no impact on the movie not being good. I think he was one of the saving graces of the movie, to be honest. It was the fact that the movie was kind of just forgettable that was ultimately the problem. But, you know, when it comes to the most important question, how hot is he? I'm giving him 4.5 capes. 4.5 capes for Brandon Routh. Congratulations. Let's move along to who I might even argue is probably the hottest Superman we have right now. Got Henry Cavill, who's only been Superman in one Superman movie, but two DC Justice League movies.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Cavill, Superman, most famous for Man of Steel. He's also in Justice League and Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Two very mediocre movies, and that's putting it lightly. Henry Cavill, Man of Steel. We saw this movie. This was the first time that I introduced you to my friends in our relationship, right?
Well, so
this
movie I met Levi. That was the first time I met Levi.
Levi and I think Zuroff.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yes. But we had dinner with Levi. That's why I remember.
Okay, all right. So Henry Cavill's portrayal as Superman in Man of Steel. All right, what do you think? What do you think of Man of Steel in general?
Okay, so I enjoyed it. I was happy to get a new Superman movie. I was excited about it. Maybe the mythology. It was a little bit different. And I was not per se 100% with it.
Wait, what were you not 100% with?
Well, the whole, you know, the kind of idea that he was supposed to be in charge of the next generation of Kryptonians that were going to be
made. You mean how Zod's storyline was going to play out?
That the creation machine was going to be making new Kryptonians.
Right, okay.
And the whole idea was that I think that's how the Kryptonians were producing. They were like genetically ordered babies, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, something
everyone
like that.
Everyone was born with a certain thing, but he wasn't. His parents kind of maybe broke law or did things differently, and he was kind of like
a natural birth. Yeah. Which is, I mean, I don't know if this was like trying to get political, but like I think that's one of the fears that a lot of some pockets of the right happen to have, which is just like their fear that, like, you know, soon the way we procreate isn't going to be like a natural thing. It's going to be like science. And I don't know. I remember thinking about that when I watched the movie, now that I'm remembering, because that the way that the plot element that they were using for the first movie is something that would carry over for the next couple of movies, in terms of how the story man story plays out, right? Mm-hmm. So just something to keep in mind. This one was like the big budget film. This is, again, Hollywood putting a lot of money behind this franchise, and I would say it was to middling results. The movie wasn't a huge blockbuster, but it performed well enough to get a sequel, that sequel being Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. And that's where, you know, WB was hoping that, like, the combined superpower Batman and Superman that's going to beat the Avengers, because that was like who to beat at the time, right?
Yeah.
So here we also have not just Henry Cavill as Superman, but we also get Amy Adams is Lois Lane, who I actually think she, not what I imagine a Lois Lane looks like, but I actually do like her performance as Lois Lane. I think she's good, but it's Amy Adams. Amy Adams is also good in general. So, yeah. His parents, Clark and Martha, are played by Diane Lane and
Dances with Wolves.
Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, who are actually
Fields of Dreams.
Yeah, they are also in a movie together, which trips me because it thinks about Let Him Go. And I keep thinking, it's just like, is this the Clark Kent story? Like, letting him go to do his own thing? Anyway, I've seen commercials for it. It's so mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I remember watching this movie. I liked it. I actually thought the fight sequences were my favorite part of the film. And more importantly, though, I think for me was when Superman takes flight for the first time. I think for me that is one of the selling points of this film. I think Zack Snyder, not one of my favorite filmmakers, but he does have this way of capturing spectacle. And I think the scene where like Clark Kent accepts that he's Superman and he like is going to learn to fly, I think that sequence of him like actually flying in the air, you feel it. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like so well done. And it's, you know, I will commend Zack Snyder when it comes to the visuals on that one. I think that's one of my favorite parts. I also actually happen to like, I know a lot of people complain about the fight sequence between him and Zod, but I thought that fight sequence was dope. I actually also do not mind, and now this is where a lot of people get angry, that like Superman in this story, a lot of people died as a result of Superman's fight with Zod. That's important for the setup for the next few movies.
Yes.
But I dug it because the truth is, I think sometimes our iterations of Superman on the media have him to be too goody-goody, too perfect, too flawless, and like his constant need to try to save everybody, it's just not realistic. And I think sometimes you have to crack a few eggs to make an omelet or save the world, you know. And I think it's about knowing what sacrifices need to be made. I don't know. I happen to like that. What did you think of this, Eddie?
I've seen that so many times in the sense of like superheroes or super battles taking place in the middle of cities, mm-hmm. middle of the population, and the devastation that comes. I mean, we spoke a little bit about superhero movies being the new horror movie, in the sense of what it is to truly live among these beings that are like gods, causing so much destruction and havoc around them. But yeah, I think the rough scene in that one is when he has Zod and he has to break his neck
to
save that family.
That's another one where a lot of people are
you
just
know,
like,
and it's like Superman, wow, we kind of see Superman kill someone.
That was interesting. I thought that was an interesting take to do with this Superman. I liked it because my whole complaint of Superman is that he's just like too perfect. And giving him flaws, I think, is important. Was that the flaw we needed to see? I think it was, actually. I think it helped kind of make a more dynamic character, because it's not like this character is going to just like kill Free Willy, you know what I mean? Like, he's not just like gonna go on like a murder spree after that. In fact, he himself has internalized his pain now. It's just like, oh my god, what did I killed, you know, one of the last of my kind. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a pain that he carries around with him and stuff. I thought it was interesting. What did you think?
I was one of the better aspects of the movie. Mm-hmm. That kind of like emotional trauma and dilemma there. Also, we got the costume. We lost the underwear.
We lost the underwear.
It's very sleek. It's very form-fitting.
It's very, very form-fitting. I dare say sexy.
And also the understanding of the S on the chest.
Oh, right. It means hope.
It means hope.
It means hope.
You know, in his language. And it's so funny when Lois Lane says, it looks like an S. You know, what's with the S?
Yeah.
You know? and it changes that too, because that gets used. That gets used in other Superman shows after that, like in Supergirl.
Right.
The CW Supergirl. Arrowverse. It's
They really harp on that.
Yeah.
It means hope.
You know?
It means hope.
A stronger together.
Oh, is that what it also
means?
Yeah, okay.
Stronger together.
Now, speaking of hope, I think one of the critiques that the movie gets, the Superman gets, is that it's so dark. It's almost bleak. And I think Superman is usually considered almost like a beacon of hope. What are your thoughts? I happen to agree, but I also think that that's for the better. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think it's interesting to see the character taken in this direction. Mm-hmm. A little edge. And I know that that's what they wanted to do with these movies. They didn't want to make them bright and shiny. The movies that were coming will have like a dark edge to them, the way they're filmed, the characters' motivations, character development will be like these, like, it'll be a little darker, serious, you know. I enjoyed it here, and then after a while, seeing it in other movies, I kind of got tired of it.
You're talking about Batman, Superman,
yeah. And then, after that, you know, too. I mean, Wonder Woman was one of the best things. Shazam,
yeah.
Added that humor and yep. light
tonality is important.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but Henry Cavill.
Right, which begs the question: on a scale of 1 flapping cape to 10 to 5 flapping capes, how hot is he?
Yeah, I think that he's there. 4.5.
4.5. 4.5. Wow. Good. Okay. I'm giving him 5 flapping capes. That's so hard for me to say. I don't know why. I made up the metric.
5
flapping capes. That is how many capes Henry Cavill gets. I mean, the jaw alone, right?
That is a jaw that doesn't quit.
The cheekbones.
Yeah.
He's quite a statuesque man, some might say. I'm saying it. And I think that brings us to the last and most recent Superman on the screen on the CW's Supergirl and, more importantly, Superman and Lois, Tyler Hoechlin, playing Clark Kent and Superman in a new CW show. This is an interesting show. This show takes superhero dynamics, and unlike Lois and Lane, where it was about a relationship, this is actually more of a family drama. This feels very ABC Family. It feels very it feels like very old school WB, and that is not, I want, it sounds like I'm like, that seems like a put down. It is not, actually. I actually think it's interesting. I did not think watching the episode that Eddie made me watch I was going to enjoy it, but I found myself like, oh, this is actually kind of cute. Again, not, I have my qualms with Superman in general, but this show turned out to be a little, it's wholesome fun, and I think that's okay. I think that is okay considering the way WB has handled Superman as a franchise in general, as of late. So, Eddie, what you're the one who actually actively went out to check out this movie, so the show. What do you think?
I'm really enjoying it. It's, I think, has already seen the third episode that just came out. I don't per se feel ABC Family.
No.
Only because I guess with ABC Family, they always focus. It always seems that the kids or the teenagers are like, hey, we're all smarter than the adults.
Oh, here. All right. You know what? Fine. Fair.
Which is not per se the case. These are 14-year-olds acting like 14-year-olds.
And cast to look like 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
I think that's important, which is rare for a CW show.
And Clark and Lois are like parents trying to figure out how to parent in this situation. You know, Superman has kept his identity a secret from his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now because of the development of, spoilers, one of his sons. They're twins. So we have Jonathan Kent and Jordan Kent. And Jordan is beginning to develop superpowers.
Right.
And when this happens, this is when Clark Kent decides he needs to tell the kids about his true identity.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking, I'm naive in the sense of, like, you find out your dad is Superman, and this is like, like all arms open, embracing, like, this is amazing. No, it was rough.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, you lied to us. You kept this from us.
It's like, know? It's interesting, right? They turned the Superman story to like a coming out story in a sense. Like, mm-hmm. this is like the father who has to admit to his children that I am gay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
A little bit? No. Hey, look, if immigrants are allowed to see the story of Superman in themselves, why can't, as a homosexual, I see this as a coming out story sure. for myself?
Sure, if you want
Let
to.
Me embrace media no, I mean, how I yeah. want, Eddie.
Go for it. no, but I do, what I really like about it is that this is a whole different take on the Man of Steel. This is Superman, the father, the dad, and he may be, and it's been said before, I mean, this is the line that's used a lot. He may be Superman, but he's not a super dad.
Yes, because he's been a neglectful father. He's off saving the world, leaving Lois to watch over the kids. And I just want to say this one thing. Lois, actually, I think she is not bad as Lois. Time will tell how she will rank, but... The one thing I will say about her is that she is a little too thin for my liking. She doesn't look like Margot Kidder. You did point that out to me.
She reminds me very much, especially in the way she portrayed the character. There's something about it that says, okay, this feels very much like a Lois Lane character. But like, it's been like great. And I think they're you know, it's kind of like, in its own way, it takes the elements of Lois and Clark, you know, the relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes that element and then the element of Smallville's and it kind of merged them together because the family now has moved to Smallville and Clark Kent has taken up like being a farmer.
Yes.
And then raising his kids there. Like being desiring and very much wanting to be present for his sons and for the family.
Yeah. And now this is like a show, mind you, that even though it's like a family drama, it still doesn't shy away from like giving you that comic booky.
Yeah. They have action, that moment.
Right. Like they do. It's sometimes like multiple times in an episode. So, and you know, that's on par for a CW superhero show. Cause those are quite popular nowadays.
But interesting thing so far. I mean, it does talk about that, the idea of like, you know, the decline of like small town living.
Oh, yes, yes,
and,
yes.
And the whole thing about just the farmer, farmland.
The
and,
part of the plight know, of the farmer.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
interesting.
You know, and then the element of mental illness.
Yeah, I'm too. Actually surprised at how they're exploring it with the kid. I mean, kudos. You know, that's an interesting take on it. Tonality. That's what I wanted to bring up. I remember now. Tonality of this show, where Man of Steel had like this kind of like dark heaviness to it. This one has, I'm not going to say a levity to it. I think this one actually has a good balance of kind of trying to be serious.
Yes.
And still fun.
So it's definitely has a darker feel than the other.
Like Lois and Clark.
The other television shows.
Yeah.
No, but I'm not talking about... I'm talking within the Arrowverse.
Oh, the Arrowverse. Okay,
because basically understanding is that this is part of the Arrowverse. We don't know. I mean, it almost seems like it's better just to take it as its own show or individual, not kind of a spinoff from Supergirl, which this particular character was first presented. So, but it does have this kind of a little darker... is dealing with a little more real life serious things about
mm-hmm.
raising a family mm-hmm. and you know, doing your best and struggling with stress and mental illness and what it is to like try to make ends meet when it's like it's hard.
Yeah,
it's very hard. Yeah. And then you know you have this the fantasy aspect of him being the hero of the world.
Right, right. Well, is this a show you're going to keep watching?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I can see myself like not complaining when you have it on. Like I will probably sit down and just like, yeah, I'll watch it. It's a cute show. And I don't mean that like in a bad way. I actually think this is like a genuinely it was a surprise how much I liked it. Just from watching it a little bit. And luckily, you know, it is a brand new show, guys. So you guys can jump in on that bandwagon. But Now to the important question.
Five. He's my five.
He's your five? He's my five, yeah. That's so interesting. He would be my 4.5. I think he, you know what's crazy about him? He has like a Brazilian model's ass. Have you seen like those pictures behind the scenes? And even actually, I saw it in the promo when he's hugging her and there's a silhouette of him. His ass is gigantic. It is so sculpty. You know what? I take it back. He is my five. Henry Cavill and Tyler Hoechlin are both fives. You know what? WB, you got casting right. Give us hot men in tights. That's all we want. At least speaking from a gay man's perspective. Why is he your five, Eddie?
I don't know. He has that appeal. He has. He also does cute, geeky well. I mean, when he's just like, hey, the geeky dad, you know, that one that walks in, it's like, oh, dad, why are you here? You know, he does it well. And it's, it's very appealing on him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tyler Hoechlin, he's a haughty, you know, what else is there to say about him? The gay community has probably been pining after him since
his Teen Wolf.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the WB knew what they were doing. But that is it, guys. That is our last of the Superman on screen. Apparently, there is talk of a new Superman in the works that's being written by Ta-Nehisi Coates. And I want to say J.J. Abrams is connected somehow. I don't want to say that he's directing, but he is connected. And rumor has it we might get our first black Superman. Eddie, your thoughts on our first black Superman?
I can't wait.
Neither can I.
But if they keep it with the character that was developed in the comic books, that would be awesome to see.
I'm curious as to where is our Latino Superman, or where's our Latino hero in general? I want to see a Blue Beetle movie finally, and I want us to get like a young, you know, Hispanic superhero. Mm-hmm. That's it. But guys, let us know what you think. Who's your favorite Superman? Let us know. You can let us know by commenting and sending us messages on Instagram and Facebook. Our Instagram handle is Remakes Reboots Revivals, and you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals. You can also send us an email. Our email address is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. And, check out our previous episodes. You can check them all out at www.remakesrebootsrevivals.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and rate us on Apple iTunes. It helps other people find us. And, hopefully we could start, you know, becoming part of the recommended Apple podcasts. That's my goal. Eddie, thank you so much you weren't a guest. You're my co-host today. But thank you so much for doing this. I know I sprung this on you a little last minute.
Yeah, totally.
Well,
but
you did well because you actually spoke more than I did.
Yeah.
Who knew you had such deep opinions on Superman?
I do.
Yeah.
Actually, you know that. You should know that.
Have
you not seen our wedding pictures?
This is true. Yes, we did have. It wasn't a Superman themed wedding. It was a superhero themed wedding in general. But you were Superman and I was Batman.
Yeah,
we did that. That's right. Well, anyway, until next time,
stay unoriginal.